Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, August 2nd. I'm Alan Chartok. With the party conventions now in the rearview mirror, the race for the presidency has been kicked up a notch. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are traveling the country and sparing no expense when it comes to criticizing each opponent and trading barbs, with Trump delivering the latest, calling Clinton the devil. The stakes of this history-making presidential race are only getting higher. 1-800-348-2551. That's right, 1-800-348-2551. I want to hear from you. I know all about the devil. Chartuk in Russian is little devil. Well, so several ways you can get in touch with us. I'll tell you about them later. Give us a call. 1-800-348-2551. The earlier you call, the more time you get. Thanks a lot. Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. If the first few days of the final 3 months of the presidential race are any indication, we're in for a wild ride to November. Hillary Clinton appeared in Nebraska yesterday with billionaire investor Warren Buffett. The Berkshire Hathaway chief called on Trump to release his tax returns and accused him of lying about the reason he isn't releasing them. Meanwhile, Trump called Hillary Clinton the devil, and accused Bernie Sanders of making a deal with said devil when he conceded the primary race. This is a history-making election, I'll tell you that right now, and we want to know what you think. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let me just tell you all that the way this works is it's like the stream in the sink, you know, when you fill it up and then you pull out the plug and it goes very slowly in the beginning and then towards the end it goes whoosh. Well, that's what happens on this show, because towards the end we want to get everybody in. So if you want to get on the air, now's the time to do it. I'm going to tell you the truth. There is one person on the line waiting patiently to talk to us. If you want to get on, if you have something important to say about this, fine. Love to see you. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Joanne. Okay, Joanne in Ticonderoga. Great to have you, Joanne. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm wondering why the discussion hasn't come up that Trump seems to be getting much more unstable with every appearance. His physical looks and his mannerisms and what he talks about. Now, what if he gets elected and then he's in there, this guy that's mentally unhinged? Is there a backup to stop him from suddenly pushing the nuclear button? Or does he have, don't they have backup people that could stop him if he does something crazy? I mean, an act of Congress would take several months.
Here, can you hear me?
So, are you there?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So anyway, the answer to that is obviously there will be other people who are involved, but it's still extraordinarily dangerous, as you indicate. You can impeach somebody if they get to be so crazy that they do something that is, really outside the pall. But that would take a long time also. So if somebody is unhinged, it could be extremely dangerous, right?
Can anybody bring up discussion on asking, what is the procedure? Is there any at all?
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm limited and don't know. And nor do you, and that is too bad because your raising it is essential, and I'm glad you are. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. So, now, Zeno, are we ready for the next call or not? 1-800-348-2551. All right, we'll try and see what happens here. Yes, we're ready? Okay. Line number three? All right, okay, line number three. Who's there? Is that Brian?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Brian, have your say.
I'm just wondering if anybody's going to do any extensive research on the connections between Paul Manafort's lobbying for the Ukraine, Trump's changing of the platform, Trump's financial connections to Russia, and his statements, his admiration for Putin.
Well, what do you think? I mean, what do I know?
I don't know. I suspect, but I need information from people like PBS and NPR and the sources that are reliable sources.
Well, the Times has had a lot of reporting on this, to be honest with you, and I can only say, Brian, that that issue of Manafort and his Russian connections is something that certainly, pardon me, we're going to hear more about. So yeah, go ahead.
I really hope so, because I think the Trump's dangerous in a lot of ways, but this is, I think, could be the most dangerous way. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's investigative reporting going on now about, you know, the way in which the Soviets are playing this election and whether or not they did release, and it looks like they did. You know, this information, whether or not this is Assange is in cooperating with them. And we don't really know. But I have a feeling before this thing is over, this three ring circus, we're going to find out. OK, thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Bye bye. So we're doing our best here. Not everything is quite right on the screen that I'm looking at. And I know our cracked engineering department will be here very quickly to help me with this. Thank you very much. Now we're going to number two, and Rick from upstate New York. Where's upstate?
Wow, thank you.
Where's upstate?
Up near Woodstock.
I thought it might be Yonkers.
Nah, that's, I live up upstate Manhattan, is that where I live up there?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I just wanted to say that I think Donald Trump is the most non-Christian person I've ever seen, and I'm so shocked that the Christians coalition, the Christian part of our country that's so powerful, haven't denounced this man, because I think he's just the second, the Antichrist, the introduction to the Antichrist.
But wait,
I'm not that religious, but it just seems like.
Are you Christian?
I was brought up Christian.
Okay.
I was taught that way, and you know, I don't really do anything at the moment, but I know what Jesus taught and what they all believe in. My mother believes in it, God bless her. So I just can't believe anybody would support him who considers himself a Christian, because he's just horrible. He's, you know, professing hate and everything. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
And thank you. All right. Yep. And now to line number four, where we're going to hear from Annie. Annie, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I still intend to vote for Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, regardless of whether I have to write them in or not.
Is there any feeling on your part, Annie, that you might in fact be casting a vote for Trump by not supporting Hillary?
Oh, I hear that a lot. And I think you cast a vote for who you cast a vote for. Mm-hmm. If it does favor Trump, then I say that's fine. Let it be. Let the world have Trump. If the world has put Trump in the position he's in now, then so be it.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, you've been hearing a lot of things about Trump, and you discount, you discount it all, and you say, well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is, right? I mean, that's what you're saying.
Well, I think that Trump, neither Trump or Hillary can do anything overnight. I also think they're going to have a lot of people in other positions of power that will stop them from doing a lot of possibly what they want to do. So it's not, they're not the only people there. There are a lot of other people with power in different positions.
Well, but Annie, Trump is obviously, if he becomes the president, he gets to name the members of the Supreme Court. And you know, there's Citizens United and other decisions like that. There could be a reversal of Roe versus Wade, but you don't think that's important.
I do think those things are important. I do. I want to have a choice in who I vote for, and I don't want to vote out of fear.
I get it. I really do get it.
And I think, and I really believe that if everyone made that choice to vote for who they really wanted to win, that Bernie would be the next president.
Well, Bernie can't possibly win an election by a couple of people writing his name in, right? And you know that I voted for him, but, you know, there's a reality and compromises that I have personally, and then we're talking personally now, I have to take
you don't
a
think,
Yeah. Go
if
ahead.
If everybody wrote him in, you don't believe that he has a chance to win. If all the people who supported him and all the independents that didn't have a chance to vote for him.
No, I don't, Annie, I don't, because I'll tell you why. You know, you're not voting for individuals. You're voting for a slate of electors. Bernie will not have that slate of electors. So all you've got is a protest vote when you vote for Bernie. Somebody's going to say, ah, here's another one who voted for Bernie. And your vote is basically discounted. Hello? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Keep thinking on this, will you, please? Thanks a lot, Annie.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. What number? Que numero? Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly, passive, and solar design elements. Noble-home.net. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. The Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, a cultural resource for the upstate region, providing a teaching, recording, and performance venue with rental options available. skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. La Rock, serving the arts community year-round in downtown Glens Falls since 1972, with gallery exhibits and gift shop featuring handmade items by regional artists. LARAC.org. And Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae.
And we are back at the Vox Pop, your show, your day. And we go to line number 5, and Elise. Elise, you're on.
Hi, my name is Elise. I'm calling just to remark about how the people on the right feel that the word dangerous is misapplied, because they feel that voting for a jerk like Trump with no filter is less dangerous than putting a utterly corrupt word parsing married to someone with multiple sex scandals, with a multinational money laundering Clinton Foundation, that is so much more dangerous for our country. And when I speak to my in-laws who live in the Buffalo region and have always been hardworking Democrats, working people type union, they no longer identify with the Democratic Party, which has become so far left as to think that a hero is a communist sympathizing man named Bernie Sanders who honeymoons in Moscow and meets with Chavez, and he's supposed to be some heroic man to the youth, and we really don't understand it, our party anymore. So I think that people are moving to Trump because they don't understand the Democratic Party. It's too far left now, and they think that a jerk
could we avoid the words like jerk? That doesn't contribute to the conversation. You know, you can make your point, and you have very well, but you know, we can avoid those words, right?
Well, I guess I hear that a lot, you know. So yeah, even on NPR about how he's such an awful man, and you know, I think that
you don't hear the word jerk.
Hard to get along with, yeah.
You know,
or they call him a lots of names, but maybe not jerk.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for your views. Appreciate them.
Okay.
Right. Que número? Dos. Okay. Here you are, Dennis in Clifton Park. Dennis, you're on.
Hi. I'm a 72-year-old retiree. I live on Social Security.
Yep.
The Social Security Trust Fund is the largest single creditor of the United States government. Mm. They hold close to 20% of the national debt.
I get it.
When Donald Trump says he wants to refinance the national debt, I'm very worried that that will translate into a lower Social Security benefit. I paid into that system for 58 years with every paycheck I ever got.
Yep.
And I'm worried that I'm going to lose my benefits if Donald Trump does what he says he was.
Yeah.
You make
a very interesting point. This playing around with Social Security has always been close to the Republican Party. They tried it a couple of years back, and it really blew up in their face, exactly for the reason that you are talking about. I mean, and let's face it, Dennis, you would go to the barricades, right, over this issue. There are some issues people don't really care about, but there's Social Security benefits, and the fact that they've been putting in all of their lives, and when they get there, they want it to be there for them, and you get a multi-millionaire, billionaire, saying, you know, we can't afford to have this happen. That speaks, doesn't it, to the whole dilemma, which is why Bernie Sanders did so well and why Donald Trump is doing so well, of people who just don't trust the folks who are calling the shots in Washington. Now, I think it's a mistake in Trump's case, but he is right there with the other guys.
Well, if Trump says that he wants to default on the national debt, the consequences of that will be very severe for our entire economy. And, you know, you just can't pull the rug out from under senior citizens who have contributed to Social Security all of their lives. And then say, now that you're collecting, I'm sorry, we can't afford it anymore.
Well, you've made your point. I appreciate it very much. They come back and they say, hey, in the old days, nobody lived to 65, so 65 was the age. Now Dennis is living to 72. It bankrupts the system. You say what back to them?
I say that Social Security has a $2.786 billion surplus right now. And with the 50-year projection that the Social Security's actuaries have made, only a slight change is needed to keep the system solvent. If nothing is done, Social Security will be able to continue to pay 70% of the benefits when it hits the problem 30, 40 years from now.
Well, Dennis, thank you for your very good call. I have to say I agree with you. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to line number 7, and we'll talk to Susan in New Paltz. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Alan, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As we are approaching the election, I hope, it is my biggest hope that Donald Trump will continue to make incredibly offensive, idiotic, stupid, uninformed, and compassionless statements that will turn the tide of the general population, particularly starting with the people in power like John McCain, like, in fact, Obama today, but that some serious Republicans will begin to speak out against him and say they will not support him.
Well,
and it is my hope, and it's I'm keeping fingers crossed that, because he is the emperor with no clothes.
Well, it is, let's avoid
yeah.
Words like stupid. It just doesn't help the discourse. It doesn't. I understand
did
your
I
feeling.
Say that?
Yeah, you did. But let's assume for a second that he makes an awful lot of mistakes. Right now, there is a widening gap between him and Hillary Clinton, who is
right.
taking more and more of a lead. Do you think
right.
we should relax at that point and say, okay, you know, that's that. We don't have to worry anymore?
No, absolutely not. No, I don't think Hillary can let up on her taking the high road, attacking him when there's a reason to attack him. But she needs to take the high road. And I just want to respond also to some previous callers.
Sure, go ahead.
No one gets to the level that Hillary has gotten without skeletons in their closets. She is no Lily, but she is so qualified, in my opinion, to lead this country and to unite, to try to bring this country together in a way that it hasn't seen for many years. I believe she is the best candidate at the present time.
Well, you may be right. You may be right, but that raises another question that I'd like to ask you. What about, you know, everything from Whitewater to taking the money before the, you know, before the nominating process was going, taking all that money? Does that suggest common sense to you?
No, it doesn't. And as I was listening this morning to the roundtable, and I forget who said it, but somebody said that she has a way of putting her foot in her mouth.
Rosemary, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, she's listening to some advice that's not the best. I don't know. You know, we all make really stupid mistakes in our lives, and she has not gotten off scot-free in that regard. So, you know, I don't know what to say about that.
Well, you've had your say, and I appreciate the call very much. You speak articulately, and with the exception of the word stupid, which you went and used again, I appreciate it.
Forgive me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Susan. Okay, and now we'll go to Marie. All right, Marie, it's your turn in Liberty. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm 75 years old, your age, and I want to say that I feel just as Newt Gingrich, I believe, made that remark about 10 days ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, that maybe on a deep unconscious level, Donald J. Trump really doesn't want the presidency because he is self-sabotaging himself. He's being so self-destructive, you know, with his remarks. So I really don't think he would really be even happy as president, although I feel that he is very narcissistic. And if you go online about narcissism, it's considered a personality disorder, and a person who is a first-class narcissist, which people who have known Trump for years say he is, that person is unrealistic about his or her abilities in life.
Well, so, you know? Let me help you with the word narcissism. You know, I've heard it an awful lot about Trump.
Yeah.
I don't really know what it means. Narcissist, you know,
I've done a lot of research. You see the young boy admiring himself in the pool.
Yeah.
You know, he's admiring his good looks. And I have personally known one woman in particular who is not at all attractive. I mean, she's not unattractive, but she's not beautiful. And she thinks she is really beautiful. And she is also very unrealistic about what she can do well and can't do.
Well, no, I don't understand. Because, frankly, you know, I'm no big Donald Trump fan, that's for sure. But he has gotten through these primaries. He beat all his opponents. He's done extraordinarily well, you know, so maybe he is what he thinks he is.
Well, he's very good at appealing, again, as they fear-mongering, as they say. And in the New Yorker, I saw it in the library, I don't subscribe to it, one of the later issues discussed the segment, as you say, of the populace to whom he has appealed. And a lot of these people have not been that successful in life, although they've worked hard. And they're frustrated and they're angry. And some even have suggested, I hate to put it, lower middle class white trash. I mean, the New Yorker sort of, you know, implies that. And he's appealed to them. And he says, I like people who are not educated.
No, he said undereducated.
He likes the uneducated.
Well, you sound a little snobby, I'll be honest with you. Cindy, you sound,
Marie. I'm sorry about that. I know people who have not gone to college who have very good native intelligence.
Uh-huh.
All right? And I don't claim, I'm a college graduate in some graduate school. I don't claim to be the most intelligent. I've met many people who are much more intelligent than I am. But, I mean, he's appealing to a certain segment of this populace that I really don't know if they really think things through. Huh? That's how I see it. Doesn't mean I'm a snob. I'm not voting for Trump. I find that a little scary. And I am not voting for Hillary because I have never liked her. I'm not going to malign her.
So who are you going to vote for?
On my ticket, I might just vote for all the senators, House of Representatives, any, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, and not vote for neither one of them.
Okay, Marie, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. All right, let's go on to, let's go on to Ted in Walker Valley. All right, Ted, you're on. Hi, Ted.
Hi, Dr. Shawtalk. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm listening. I'm very interested in what people have to say.
Well, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I just had a quick question. As much as I don't agree with you on a lot of things, I find that your analysis is usually fairly accurate. And I have noticed in the past couple of days, I'm a political creature by nature, that a lot of my friends who are, in fact, Republicans are really moving towards the Johnson-Weld ticket all of a sudden.
Yeah. And I got it. I hear you.
I'm just curious what your, if you have any insight on that or how it could potentially be something that alters the ability of Trump to actually win an election.
Well, it certainly...
I'm going to let you go.
No. Stay there. It could be that could be Trump's undoing, obviously. I mean, the people like Bush and McCain, well, both Bushes and McCain, people who didn't show up at the convention, they don't want to vote for Hillary. Hillary has always been the symbolic enemy. So it may well be that they and their followers, in some numbers, 10% maybe, even 10% or 9%, go on that other ticket in order to make their protest heard. And as for the Libertarians, they've done a very smart thing. They've gotten two very credible candidates, two ex-governors, to run on that ticket. But I think if it gets close, you're going to see somebody like one of the Georges coming out and literally endorsing Hillary rather than watching, Trump get into office.
Yeah, that was just today, right?
What was today? Nothing was today.
The Republican, the gentleman who endorsed Hillary, the Republican congressman, I believe?
Yeah, there was a congressman. He's leaving office, Utica area, and probably, not indicative of the way it's really going yet. Because right now, Hillary is pulling out a little bit in front. They're not going to fool around if they think that she's going to win. But if they think she's going to lose, then I think you'll see something.
Well, the other thing that I noticed is, now I held elected office, so I can speak directly to this, and it's something that people don't really realize is that, and you need, if you've never been in the game, you really need somebody who has been in the game to show you the ropes, no matter what acumen you have from what outside fields. The system that we have functions, and it functions for a reason, and I just don't see Donald Trump being able to step into that system and work within the bounds of that system effectively at all. Whether you like him or not, that's just the reality. He doesn't seem to have a grasp that there are things that are do's and don'ts, and there's a reason why they are do's and don'ts. And I can't see him, not from even a standpoint of policy being effective, but just functionality. He doesn't seem to have a grasp on you have to be able to function.
Well, interesting. Very interesting. I thank you so much for your call. All right. Did we take that first break? We did. Yeah. Okay. My mind is not quite right. All right. Let's go to Ronnie in New York. Ronnie.
Hello.
Hey.
First of all, I want to say that I am a Hillary supporter and I plan on voting for her. But that being said, I am very disappointed in the Republican Party for many of the moderates for not speaking out against their candidate. In the past, when I felt that the Democrats did not put up someone that I felt I could vote for, I would vote Republican. In this case, I do feel that, the Democrats have put up someone who is very good. But I am very disappointed that the moderate Republicans have not spoken up against some of the comments that their candidate has come out with.
Well,
Let me just finish. I do feel that it is very important to have a two-party system.
Yeah. Well, Ronnie, I think there are reasons that people don't speak out. Now, you take a whole bunch of people, you know, who have, in fact, condemned Trump very heavily for his remarks and not shown up at the convention, for example, both Bushes. You have Paul Ryan. You have, you know, all of these people who basically have, and John McCain, who have spoken out quite dramatically against what Trump has had to say. A lot of these people have politics as a career. They don't want to lose their career. McCain, for example, is running for Senate again, and he could well lose in Arizona. So what they do is they say, I endorse, but I don't like. Everybody gets it, wink, wink, nod, nod, don't they?
Well, I don't feel that they should be endorsing him if they don't agree with what he has to say. And I feel that someone who is really strong in their opinions, I feel that they will stand out if they are running against someone who is perhaps not as strong as they are.
Yeah, well, there are an awful lot of people, Ronnie, who voted for Trump in the election, and they're going to be really ticked off if any of these people desert the Republican Party candidate. No?
But there are also, I think there are a lot of people who are going to feel that if someone is really strong in their opinions and they have done a good job and they present themselves well, that they will look at them as an individual and not as a party.
Okay.
I
got to take a break, Ronnie. I thank you. I don't agree with you, but I thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Thanks again.
Support for WAMC comes from Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens Cheshire, now selling seasoned firewood, tumbled, screened, and free of debris, cut, split, and delivered. Super sacks of one-third of a cordwood now available, whitneysfarm.com. Cantix Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations. Serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years, canticsconstruction.com. The Wild Center, featuring the Wild Walk with treetop views from 1,000 feet of bridges in the forest. Wildcenter.org for details. Vision Excel Eye Care Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. And ClipCentric Albany, a local video services division of ClipCentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.ClipCentric.com.
Wow, a lot of people are calling, a lot of people are writing. I'll read a couple. Casting doubt is a Democratic tactic to discredit Trump. He could not have been as successful as he has been and be a lunatic. I am disappointed. Bernie rolled over and played dead. Hillary is untrustworthy. I can't think of anything Hillary accomplished as a carpetbagging senator from New York. Alan, you are stumping for Hillary now that Bernie is gone. All right. And Aliza says, George W. Bush has expanded presidential power, and Barack Obama has expanded power further, so folks should think about that before they pull the lever for Trump. And then Nancy says, I posted an article on Facebook, erratic behavior raises mental health questions about Trump, and got in a long, drawn-out, nasty, he called me a lot of names, discussion with my right-wing friend Peter. He said it couldn't be true because it came from a liberal news outlet. So I quoted an article saying the same thing, and it came from an ultra-conservative website. He said it couldn't be true because they're puppets of the establishment and longer, but I just can't take all of the calls. And we're going to line number three now, and Larry in Albany. Larry, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to make a comment about something a previous caller said.
Right. Go ahead.
First, let me preface it by saying I align myself with Christ. I don't call myself a Christian. But the gentleman said that it implied that he was an atheist. And then he said, then he used the term God bless. Excuse me. I find that to be ludicrous and uninformed. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, now line number six for David in Patterson. Okay, David, speak up.
Okay, thank you. I want to make two short points and get to my thing. I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but as I look at the 25th Amendment, there seems to be a provision that if people feel that the president is incapacitated,
yep,
that he can be removed. I'm not sure of this. Maybe you can ask Rich Honan if he's on the round table, because he's a lawyer and I'm not.
Yeah, but it's if this happens, then that happens. Then if this happens, then if the guy says, then if a majority of the cabinet says. So it's very, very complicated.
I understand. That's why I'm saying I don't know the answer.
Yeah. Well,
the other thing someone mentioned, Social Security. The longevity problem was solved in the early 80s when they raised the retirement age from 65 to 67. So that's a red herring.
But why is it a red herring? I'm sorry. Why is it a red herring?
Because the longevity problem was solved when they raised it from 65 to 67.
Yeah, but that didn't stop the question of the Republican objections to this. And by the way, I don't agree with them. But that didn't mean anything.
No, but anything. I mean the longevity problem was solved by doing that.
Why?
They made some Social Security benefits taxable, and they raised the retirement age from 65 to 67.
Well, I don't think they would agree with you. I agree with you.
I know they wouldn't agree with me. That's a different issue.
Okay. Thanks a
All
lot.
Right. Now, the point I want to make, though, is that Trump's support is coming mainly from non-college white males.
Yeah.
And what I don't know is what the effect of this con business is going to have, because many of those people are also veterans, and they're not going to like this. Now, I don't know what the effect of that's going to be. But if you decrease that support for Trump among these white males by even 5%, that may swing the election to Hillary.
Absolutely. But how do you do that?
I don't know whether you agree with that or not.
Well, I do, of course, but how do you do it?
Well, I can't do anything. The question is, Trump is going to do it. Each time he opens his mouth, he's going to alienate more of these people.
You think the McCain statement about he wasn't a hero, even though he was in jail and going after Mr. Khan with the Gold Star father, do you think that those things get to the core you're looking at right now?
I don't know. What I'm saying is I think it's going to affect enough of them. You made the point always that, you know, all you have to do is just swing a few of them.
That's
all. I mean,
all.
A certain small percentage. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to meet all of them. A lot of them means they're still very angry that they've been displaced. Instead of working for 25 an hour, they're working for 8 an hour flipping hamburgers. But there are enough. You may reach enough of them who are veterans, who are very, as I read the newspapers, the Washington Post and the Times, there are a lot of people who are very upset about what he said about the cons and so on.
Well,
I just don't know what the effect is going to be.
Well, you know, he did cater obviously to the anti-Muslim sentiment in the United States.
Sure.
I thought that the Democrats, and particularly Hillary, were brilliant in putting Khan on.
I agree.
And so, therefore, I think a good deal of what you're saying is so. Hey, listen, I got to move on. Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go to Chris in line number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, here you go. Chris, you're on. Chris.
Hi. Afternoon, sir.
Afternoon to you, sir. What do you got?
Yes. Oh, I just have a couple points. One is, I listen to the radio and the news quite a lot. I like to keep up to date with what's going on. And I'm disappointed that I have to listen to Trump and his comments again and again. I think we've come to the point, especially the media, that it's just time to, black him out. Don't publicize any of his anymore.
Well, as you know, Chris, I couldn't disagree with you more. This is a presidential election. It is an historical election. If Trump is elected, this country will never be the same again, in my opinion. Therefore, what are the newspapers and the media and WMC supposed to do? Shut up, you know. We can go back to Hitler. I'm not saying Trump is Hitler here, but we can go back to Hitler. We can go back to Hitler. What?
Well, what I'm saying is, you could suggest how he's doing in the polls, but as far as what he says and his comments, I don't think it's even necessary. And if news sources want to disclose that information, then that's fine. But there's lots of other political parties, which I haven't heard anything about the libertarians or what they represent or or their leaders talking, or the Green Party.
Well, wait a second. We put the Green Party on. We put the Green Party on for an hour. You know, an hour,
right.
And nobody else does that. We did it, and we have reached out. We have reached out to the libertarians for the same hour, because and they don't apparently want to come on because we can't even get a call back, and that's 29 radio stations that represents a good deal of the Northeast. So you wonder about that, right? And you just say, what's going on there? But in terms of what Trump is saying. Right now, Hillary is pulling out further. Why? Because people are saying, based on what this guy is saying, we don't want to vote for him. So,
based on what he said already, there's no reason to even talk about him anymore.
Okay, we don't agree. But I thank you for your call, and I understand where it's coming from. Thanks again. All right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to line number 9. Yes, line number 9, and that is Bruce in Kingston. Okay, Bruce, your turn.
Yes, finally. Okay.
No, thank you for your patience. Appreciate it.
Right. The New York Times, several weeks ago, had a full page devoted to the influence, the basic and base influence of Roy Cohn on a young Trump. Roy Cohn, who, of course, was McCarthy, the Red Baiter's main lawyer.
And who was his assistant? Who was his associate in the Army McCarthy hearings? Roy Cohn, sitting next to Roy Cohn, it may not have been Army McCarthy, but for a good deal of this, was Robert F. Kennedy. Did you know that? Okay, so go ahead. Keep going.
That's one thing. So, he had a very negative influence on Trump. The other thing is that, and I don't know his name, but it was on a number of stations, the man who ghost wrote The Art of the Deal.
Basically, he wrote it. Yeah. We've talked about this many, many times. And what he had to say was very damning. Mm-hmm.
One of the main things he said is that Trump has a very short attention span,
right?
Like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So, how could he take the office of president and listen to all the briefings?
Well, Eisenhower,
Eisenhower,
was a great president in my opinion, and he didn't have much staying power either. He wanted everything put on a half a page of paper and the rest. So, it's not that people demand, and I'm no, as I've said before, I'm no Trump fan, but it's not that that people want to be succinct and don't want to sit there for 5 hours, don't you think?
Well, to have a very short I don't think Eisenhower had a short attention span.
No.
He never could have planned the invasion of Europe.
Yeah.
With a short attention span.
Yeah.
So maybe that was just his way of dealing. But Trump has a short attention span. He's unable to listen.
Okay.
The other thing I'd like to say.
Hey, Bruce, you're out of time. I'm so sorry.
Very quickly, please. Humpty Trumpty sat on his wall. Humpty Trumpty had a great fall. All his reporters and all his supporters couldn't put Humpty Trumpty back together again.
Very helpful, Bruce. Thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Elizabeth. All right, Elizabeth, you're on. Hey, Elizabeth. Whoa. Elizabeth hung on.
What I think should be is that I'm very disappointed with the president. And I have to tell you why. He should act more presidential. And the more he opens his mouth against Trump, it's going to be like he opens his mouth against gun control. What happens when he opens his mouth about gun control? People go out and get more gun permits.
Well, first of all, Elizabeth,
I wish he would act more presidential. You know what I mean?
No.
Keep your nose clean.
No,
you want to. You want to campaign for Hillary? Fine. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't. Listen, you just walked. Let me just say, what if the president, who, by the way, is immensely popular at this stage of the game, says a Donald Trump, which he does, candidacy for America is incredibly dangerous. Well, let's assume he thinks that. Let's assume he shares that, for example, with me. Does he have the right to warn people not to vote for Trump?
No, I don't think that's his position. He has to be above that. One of the problems with Obama and one of the problems that we're having is that he injects himself and not his presidential self. I don't think he has a presidential self. He has a professorial self.
Interesting, because I think he has a terrific presidential self. I think he is a terrific, thoughtful man, and I very much admire him. So you don't, I do. You think he's not presidential, I do, and I appreciate your call very much. Okay, line number six. All right, we'll go to Martin. Okay, Martin, you got to make it fast. We're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call. Thanks for the show. I think you're right. President is great. He's very presidential. He wears his heart on his sleeve. And I think that's what the young lady just meant. I think that he loves the country. And he does everything because he loves the country. And when he speaks anti-Trump speak, it's because he's afraid, just like we all are, that this guy could get us into a terrible war. Terrible situations could arise because of the way he speaks. And he does this on an international stage. Anyway, what I originally wanted to say was, who says that all these polls are accurate?
I agree with you.
I brought this up before. I don't think these polls really have as much meaning as everybody thinks they do.
I agree with you.
I think when it's all said and done, we're going to see something totally different than the polls
indicating. I don't know that it'd be totally different, but it could be a couple of points different, and that could mean the difference between, a Trump presidency and not, and it could give a sense of false security, and I thank you for your call. All right, now we're going to line number seven. All right, line number seven is Cindy in Catskill. Go, Cindy, make it short.
Oh, hey, Alan. I want to speak to a couple of things. And number one is I'm Southern.
That doesn't sound short, by the way. A couple of things. Go ahead.
But, all right, I'm going to try to keep it. But the one caller who called in and said that he thought that Trump was the Antichrist. Yeah. No way. Trump's not the Antichrist. Monsanto's the Antichrist. But that's beside the point. Insofar as Christians and looking at Trump and voting Republican, the right wing is who we keep hearing, is the Christian right, et cetera, and so forth. But those people go to church and they listen to what their ministers say, and they do what their ministers tell them to do. So that's one thing. The other part to it is that I have in the past in New York State witnessed discussions with Republicans in large situations. And one of them told me one time very much like this: I like being a Republican because being a Republican means that I don't have to think for myself. They tell me what to think. And I'm standing there with my mouth hanging
well,
up and thinking,
not only, wait.
And that's exactly
okay.
what
okay.
they
no,
would
you
like
can't yell your way
to
through.
Think, you know?
Okay. I thank you for your call. 1-800-323-9262. We are almost out of time. And now line number 10 is going to be Steve. Steve, you got to make it real fast. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to address this to people like myself who voted for Bernie in the primary.
Like me. Yeah.
This will be the 12th presidential election I voted in. I've only voted enthusiastically once, but while I would agree that Hillary will not be a particularly good president, Trump will be a bleeping disaster. So suck it up, folks, and hold your nose and vote for Hillary.
I appreciate your call. All right, a couple of real fast letters. Dear Alan, I like to educate callers the fact, as you said, a vote for Bernie will do little. However, this is an opportunity for Bernie supporters who have serious problems supporting Hillary to vote green, help this country to give us more choices. Jill Stein is more progressive than Bernie Sanders. And Kermit says the current election should hopefully be enough to finally educate Americans to learn that these two political parties have captured and stolen our government. And then we heard from Nancy. I posted an article on Facebook. We did that one, and we are sort of out of time. And I am looking for the right piece of paper to answer. No more. That's it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We're just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. I really mean that. And apologize to all of the people left on the line. And they are Delia and Cindy and Sydney and Rick and Agatha. Those are some of the people who are hanging on. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, plastic surgery dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation since 1996. Surgeon's hands, a woman's touch, C-A-P-E-K. PlasticSurgery.com, the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies and performance, newpaltz.edu/THEATRE. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style old butterscotch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com, and the Lake George Association investing now to help keep Lake George waters clean for future generations, lakegeorgeassociation.org/join. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to Zena Riefenheiser for answering the phones. Our engineer has been Jordan Taylor. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.